Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Beamer Distributors Blog Talk Show. This is your show. It's designed for all Beamer distributors across the country to provide you with the latest information, training, and current events. It's a live, interactive show where we value your participation. Just hit one on your phone and we'll open your line so you can ask questions and share information and testimonials. You'll hear from individuals who are experiencing amazing results in their business and with the use of their Beamer. But remember, this information of Beamer technology is not designed to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or ailment. These testimonials have not been evaluated or reviewed by the FDA. This call is for education only, and no medical or income claims are intended. This call is not put on by Beamer USA. It's just us, a group of independent Beamer distributors all helping one another. So grab a pen and paper, listen carefully, and get ready to learn and share. Stay tuned. The show is about to begin.
Hello, and welcome, everyone, to Beamer Blog Talk Radio. I'm Rainey Hale, so this is Horse Thursday. Today is Thursday, August 12th, and I'm super happy to be with you here today. My brain's a little scattered today, so if I lose you here at some point today, just forgive me in advance. Before I say hello to Cindy, I just want to remind everyone to please grab a pen and paper. You almost always have a phone number or a website or the Facebook page or something that you're going to want to write down and be ready for if you haven't done that already. Cindy's always full of new places to go to find information, so you want to be ready to write that down. And please press 1 on your phone if you want to talk with us. Questions, comments, testimonials, we'd really, really love to hear from you. It's a big part of what our show is all about, is listening to you guys, hearing from you guys, and going from there. It's the way our show works the best is being able to hear from you guys. That's why we're here, is to be able to help you all. And likely, if you have a question, somebody else does too. A quick reminder, though, for this show, we really do need to keep it to, questions, comments, testimonials about training and behavioral. We really need to stay away from any kind of medical questions on this show. We do have outlets for that, but just not this one. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and say hi to Cindy. Good morning, Cindy. How are you?
Good morning, Rainey. I'm doing great here, and good morning to everybody around the country. I'm happy to be with you here today and see what we can cook up.
It's a hot one here in the Portland area. It was over 100 yesterday. I think it's going to be about 106 or something, I think, today, and we're in for a few hot days again. I think this is our third kind of over 100-degree, like, several-day heat wave that we've had this year, which is just unheard of for here. So I don't know what's going on. Mother Nature's mad about something. but we haven't had a lot of fires yet, knock on wood. I'm hoping we can survive the summer for that, but because that always puts a lot of stress on everybody. But so Cindy,
yeah.
I know let's go ahead and get started on where we left off last week when we were talking about mares and heat. And I know there's been a lot of Facebook activity, and you've been kind of monitoring that. And so we want to make sure that if this is a subject that interests all of you guys, that you go and visit that Facebook page and look at that thread, because there's a lot of good information and more than we can even talk about on this show. And so if anyone has any comments they want to share that's on as a caller today, we would really love to hear from you. Remembering for this show, we do need to keep it more to the behavioral part of even that. But if we would really love to hear stories, questions you have or successes that you've had would be great. So Cindy, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Rainey. And so Rainey and I were just talking before the show that we were wishing, both having had mares in our past that were wonderful horses, we really wished that we'd had Beamer at the time. because you find that, you know, show season is, you know, depending on the part of the country, you know, during the better weather months, and it's generally, I don't know, April through October, so a good half of the year where mares tend to cycle, and some of them can be quite dramatic, and you know, sometimes they can even hurt themselves because they're just trying to get away from the discomfort. And so We did have, if anybody has that kind of experience, we'd love to hear your personal story, but I was going to share, kind of editorialize off of a few of the comments that I saw on the Facebook page. I thought this one was really interesting, that the IBD had purchased a mare that had been on medications, and they weaned her off the medications because she was purchased to be a broodmare, and she had she had some really difficult cycles, and they were able to alleviate her discomfort, if you will, and that they also have a breeding center that, and they said this year almost all of our mare clientele chose to have Beamer sessions for their mares, as it helped with the stress of breeding. This is all by AI, artificial insemination. And we had a high level of success, which we can't directly attribute to all the positive results to Beamer, but the mares being relaxed definitely helped us in our breeding work and the safety of the handlers. So I thought, you know,
absolutely.
That was
that's a really cool one, yeah.
Yeah, and then we had another person say that they'd been recommended to maybe try some medications because of spasms that the mare had. I don't think that's medical. That's just a physical thing in her back when due to the hormones fluctuating. And they were able to help her balance out her hormones so that the muscles in the back relaxed and that circumstance did not reoccur. And sometime during that time, of course, if she had those kind of spasms, she was unrideable and she was, you know, she was ungroomable, untouchable. And so this made a huge difference for that particular mare. So I thought that was a really good one. And
yeah,
I didn't realize from people's response how many people, you know, I was lucky. Ours didn't hurt herself, but, you know, there's cases of horses, you know, throwing themselves into the walls and putting their hips out and needing, you know, to get adjustments every month and things like that. So
yeah, I didn't realize that either. I mean, I always thought my horse was bad because she always did come in for like the biggest show of the year. She was always in here.
Yeah.
I swear it was.
Yeah, of course.
No matter what, no matter when it was, it always happened. And she wasn't like that because I guess I didn't realize how bad, you know, some of those don't necessarily either. She was just, how can I put this the right way?
You just
hard
want to be around her.
Yeah.
She was hard to focus anyway. That was her normal. Hard to focus when she was like, until I got her warmed up, she just, like I described to Cindy, she was the horse that, like, when you first got on her, it's like a dog with a treat that you tell them to sit, but they just throw out like every trick they know just because they just want the treat. And so she's like, I'll do everything you want all at once, you know. So I'd have to, you know, we always took a long warm up, you know, it took 20-30 minutes to really get her, you know, focused and, you know, with me. And And then she was great. She was a really, really great horse, and she had a lot of heart. But she just she wanted to give me everything she could. She just didn't know how to give it one at a time, or how as I asked. So that was her normal. When she was in heat, she was just like a person you did not want to be around. Like you couldn't. It didn't hurt to touch her, and it didn't hurt to ride her. She was just not very nice about it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we have some similar circumstances within the human world, for sure.
Of course.
I think, you know, men attribute a lot of behavior to those that particular circumstance. But I really think when we remember what increasing circulation does, that enables the body to, for all the self-regulatory processes, which includes the hormonal system, to be able to self-regulate and balance. That's really what you're aiming for. And, you know, so it's not surprising that we see these kinds of results. Well, if we don't have anybody to call in to talk about that now, maybe they will later.
Yeah.
I was looking back through some of the questions. Yeah, that we went through, you know, didn't all get to with Dr. Marlies. So one of the ones that I wanted to address was a real simple, you know, it says, is it okay for a horse to eat during a Beamer session? So I have comments, but Rainey, do you want to comment about that?
Yeah, definitely we can. I mean, this is a question I get a lot, you know, from people, from whether I'm, you know, when we're doing a demo and how we should set that up, or just people who are doing, you know, long-term sessions with their horses. So definitely if you're doing a demo, you don't want any really distractions is kind of the way I kind of look at that. You don't want to be having them, you know, eating. You don't want to be having other horses being fed around them. You don't want to set them up for their Beamer session, like in the middle where there's a lot of like going back and forth, you know, horses walking back and forth, or, you know, hay being hauled back and forth or something like that. That's just a distraction for them, and they can't. Yeah. That's more for kind of the visual response, because for anyone who's done a horse Beamer session, you know that almost always you get this real physical response. It's a real visual. It's what you kind of know is happening, but you can actually watch it in a horse. You can watch the head drop. You can watch the ears and the eyes get soft. You can, you know, they'll start like flapping their lips and then licking their lips, and they'll, you know, cock a hip, and their head will, I mean, I've seen them, their head like drop into the ground. And so when you have all that distraction around, whether it's horses walking by or people walking by or food walking by, that you're not going to see those responses, because they're not in the moment. They're going to keep getting distracted by other things. And so it's not going to not work, obviously, but you're not going to get that visual response, and you might not get that, you know, calm. The physical part is going to be there. You know, you're obviously increasing the blood flow. You're obviously doing all of that, but you may not get that, quite that response with that parasympathetic, sympathetic balance that we always look for. And as far as eating, again, same thing. It's kind of like you don't want to be on your cell phone and, you know, doing other things, or you don't want to, you know, be at screens before you go to bed. It's, you know, focusing and isolating your plan. And so I would say, for me, I usually recommend, of course, not doing that. And for a demo, I never do that. And I make sure I can find a quiet place where there isn't, you know, they're not eating and there's no other horses eating. But for like a, you know, long-term maintenance, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it certainly, but I don't think it's going to necessarily hurt. You know, if it's a horse that you have, you know, you do Beamer sessions on every day, and that's the only time you can do it that day. You know, it's not going to hurt, but it's certainly not something that, if you can avoid it, that I would recommend. Cindy, how about you?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I would take it further even than distraction to say, and this is maybe directed more at people who are less familiar with horses, but, you know, feeding time is the most important time of the day for the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned something, you know, about, you know, if other horse... If hopefully the owner or the handler would be very, who was, you know, this is the first time demo with, would be sensitive to that fact, that if every other horse in the barn is getting fed and this horse isn't, they're never going to relax because they're, you know, oh my God, you know, I'm not getting fed. And they will stay in that stressful zone. So the feeding time and the regular kind of routine, that's something that you want to check with when you do schedule a demo with somebody, is, you know, they would recognize that you were, they would recognize that you knew what you were talking about if you said, what times of the day do you feed? That's always a really good question to ask. Some horses get fed three times a day. Some horses are fed twice a day. Some are fed, you know, kind of have different routines, if you will. But it's a good idea to find that out. And particularly because you're wanting those visual responses, you want the horse to really fully be present and into the zone. So just an awareness of that fact. But physiologically, it's not an issue. Just like people could eat on the Beamer, but, you know, it's a for someone who's an owner and using it all the time, it may be, you know, maybe that's the time that they have to go to the barn. And so they might tend to say, I'm going to do everything at once. And so it's really a differentiation between, is this the first time or is this the regular routine? But, yeah, no, Rainey, that was perfect. So thank you. Thank you for that. Let's talk about something else that was brought not near and dear to my heart, but certainly up in my face through a recent show that we were at and abruptly left. But it's talking about disinfection of your equipment, sometimes your boots, your hands, and when to say, not now, let's reschedule. I really think it's important because there are enough things. What I was dealing with here in California was the equine herpes virus, which is highly contagious in a variety of ways, you know, and in fact, we were at a show as a vendor at a show, two shows back to back, and we left because we did not want to be put in the situation of having to worry about doing more than one horse, and I didn't want to get my equipment contaminated, if you will. And I came home and I sprayed the, you know, my disinfectant and wiped down the whole inside and outside of the blanket and left them out in the sun to cook. With the battery protected, and the same thing with the boots, and I washed the inserts. But I think a lot of people, particularly in warmer weather, you might not. I always want the owner to have their own stable blanket or sheet or something, you know, beneath my blanket and the horse. But if you're talking about from a contagion point of view, you could still, you know, pick it up from the horse's sweat, just even if they had a different blanket on, apparently, as I've been told. So I think it's really important that you carry disinfectant with you, that you know if you're talking about, I've found different owners and managers have different sensitivities. I think if a barn manager knew that they had something contagious on their premises, they would tell you and not want you to be there. But sometimes they don't know. And, you know, something hasn't been diagnosed yet. And so it's a good idea to always ask that question, you know, is there anything contagious going on at the barn that I need to know about? And if there, you know, my personal choice would be I would reschedule. If you decide to go ahead, you absolutely need to have disinfecting measures with you. But Rainey, I don't know how you feel about that. I'm more likely to say, to err on the side of caution and say, let's just do it another time. Particularly if horses are saying, well, we don't know yet, but we're waiting to get the results back. Okay. You know, because I'm still following up with the horses that we did at the show. I'm still following up with them to say, you know, several weeks after, okay, any symptoms develop? So, because then I would need to tell the other people that I did, which is another reason why the disclaimers are so important. I'd have to let them know.
Biosecurity is an important thing to talk about. I mean, it's become forefront just because because of COVID. I mean, everyone is thinking more about that kind of, you know, contagions now. But biosecurity, you know, as from working at a veterinary clinic has always been, you know, an important part of what we do. You know, we always have to make sure that the, you know, doctors are cleaning their boots between, you know, if they're going from farm call to farm call, that they are, you know, cleaning off and depending on what they're seeing at what place. And so that's always in our minds that we're thinking about. And so definitely I always, I always put a sheet down, and that's as much for biosecurity as it is just for ease of cleaning my unit when I get home. And I just have cheap little, twin sheets, and I just bring a stack of them depending on. I usually always carry one or two in the bag with me, but if I'm going to a barn, I'm going to be doing several horses. I just change them out, each horse. Several horses, same owner, and they're always in the same, the exposure is always the same. I don't necessarily always change those out between those two. If I'm doing, three of the same owner's horses, I don't necessarily have to get brand new clean things, sheets or anything that I'll put down in between. But always, of course, it has been sanitized before, and I'll sanitize when I get home. But I carry some with me just because. I never know sometimes. It's an important thing to do. Mm-hmm.
That's on kind of like an on-site barn session. But what about if you were at a show?
Yeah, I don't do a lot of shows, but definitely I'd be probably at least spraying. I'd be doing. Yeah, that's hard to keep enough sheets.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't. If you're doing 30 horses at a show, you're just not going to have enough sheets to do that with, enough clean ones. So
and I don't have enough water to wash all of them either.
right. Yeah, and so that's not realistic for that kind of thing. If you're going to a barn and you're going to do 2 to 10 sessions, that's something different. But if you're doing a show, that's obviously not realistic because, I've done some shows and I've done some like people and, sometimes people I'm having, 100 people on a day, and that's just not a realistic set up for that. So yeah, disinfectant between would be definitely what I would do between each horse. And then obviously you want to be able to use whatever you've got for your own hands. You won't be able to wash between you don't need to necessarily disinfect your boots and things like that between everything because probably you're stationary. But before and after is a good idea. So absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, I really want to emphasize that for people that are newer doing this, that just, I had a conversation with someone who said, I was at a show, and this was a trainer, and said, I was at a show, and, I was kind of interested in the Beamer, but I saw somebody just flipping the blanket on from horse to horse to horse, without anything else, and obviously not making any sanitizing efforts. And he said, that turned me off right there. And I haven't talked about Beamer since because, I figured if that's the way they promote the product, that I wasn't interested. So recognize.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate. And I think that's something also that we sometimes tend to forget when we're at a show is we're, you're just kind of going about your business, doing your own thing, but you don't realize how people are watching you or being aware of your behavior. At this particular show that I was at, I went to a number of different barns, and they already had Beamers, and some of them were already IBDs. But they were, they were definitely looking at what I did. And just be aware of the fact that you are kind of on stage, if you will, in a public venue like that. And people are, making opinions.
The only time in a show situation where I would put it on like several horses is if without disinfecting between is if it's like, the same owner that has 3 horses there. And then whatever one has, the other is going to already have anyway. So I'm not worried about cross-contaminating any kind of, any kind of diseases because they probably already passed them amongst themselves anyway. So, if a owner comes up and has, 3 of their horses that's there or 2 or whatever, I would go and do all 3 of their horses, without necessarily disinfecting in between. But again, that's an important thing for Cindy that Cindy just said is somebody watching doesn't necessarily know all those 3 horses are the same owner.
Yeah, right.
So that is something to think about where like in a show situation. Yeah.
We're creating, we're all representatives and ambassadors of sorts of creating the reputation out there in the field that we need to be aware of. So I don't know if we have questions about this or if people have comments or anything they want to share.
Nobody wants to talk to us today, Cindy.
Well, I'm going to take that personally because we're not a – I mean, Rainey's pretty darn close to a vet, so – we'd love some feedback, people. Let's see. Those were the things that I kind of had on my agenda to be able to talk about.
Yeah. Nobody wants to talk to us. We can just end this a little early today then.
Yeah, we absolutely could. I mean, we've really gone through the questions that were online. Mm-hmm. I think we, you know, remember that you can go on to the Blog Talk recording, Beamer Blog Talk recording, anytime, and they're always listed in date order, you know, most recent and going backwards, so you know that if you want to listen to the three episodes that we did with Dr. Vonk, that you can do the last three Thursdays and listen to the recordings from that and see if maybe
your
questions
were covered. Yeah, and I labeled those also. You know, usage with Dr. Marlies Vonk, so they should be easy to find. And we're going to continue this talk as far as usage goes. You know, we talked to Marlies and planned that we would do, I think we're planning on that first Thursday of every month, making it kind of usage day, because there are so many questions that we get on these and so many different ways we can talk about it that – it should be really kind of an ongoing theme that we're going to keep going. So definitely it's not over. I see another question here that I had missed.
It's kind of a basic one.
Does
it matter whether you start with the cuffs or the blanket on a horse that's getting regular Beamer sessions? And think about that if you were take that into the human world. And say, would you start with the intensive applicator or would you start with the B-body? What has your academy training taught you? Rainey, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so, you know, whether we're talking horse or human, I'm always starting with the systemic application first. I have talked to people in the past over the years, whether, you know, not necessarily with the horse, but maybe with the human unit, that really like to use the just local applicators first. I am not one of those people. I generally like to give that kind of the body the systemic application and then focus on those individual areas after. And obviously that's usually what is recommended.
Dr. Burke, out of the two,
obviously the systemic application, the B-body and the blanket are the more important piece. Because you're getting that full systemic application, the accessories or like the other applicators, the more local applicators are additional, you know, more targeted application. But if you're going to choose one or the other, always choose the systemic, the B body or the blanket. And then I always add, you know, the local applicators after that as needed. And you know, like I said, yes. You're saying, Dr. Burka, that's the recommendation by the company. Over the years, I have had people swear for certain things. They like to start with that. I don't know why, what the rationale behind that was, but that's definitely not what I do or what I recommend or obviously what Beamer usually recommends. So, but if you just think about it as you're getting the whole body, it's systemic application, and then after that, you can give extra you know, targeted support to some areas that need it. Kind of if you think about it that way, it really makes more sense to do it that way. But I don't know, Cindy, if you have
targeted application, when we talk about it being an intensive applicator, remember that the cuffs are three times stronger intensity for localized purposes. And so that means that, you know, the blanket starts very low at 10 microtesla, but the cuffs start at 30 microtesla and go up. So, you know, just keep in mind the differences, if you will. I think people sometimes tend to forget that the cuffs are stronger. They're still very low. They are still, and within the PEMF world, and particularly the equine PEMF world, they're still extremely low intensity. But, in fact, you know, it is stronger. And remember, as horses being more sensitive, they don't necessarily need to have, you know, they don't need higher intensities. And that's part of the beauty of Beamer as we recommend it to people, not only for the amazing physiological changes and benefits that can happen from a, just simply a 5-minute exposure to a session, but the fact that that you don't have, because we have the signal and we're using PEMF to deliver that signal, we don't need to have really high intensities or frequencies to get results. And in fact, that's why we don't have a lot of contraindications like other units do. So again, that's part of Beamer's unique selling points, if you will, is that we are low in and gentle and safe in terms of the intensities and frequencies. So I kind of went off on a sidebar there, but those are the things I can come up with for today, folks. We need some help from you to make this show pertinent to what you need to learn and find out. I will point out also that this afternoon is the, if you're a Facebook person, that is the Tea Time with Daisy Bicking on the, and that's posted on the IBD the horse set IBD page for the link about that. So that's kind of a Zoom call that goes over a lot of different topics, if you will. And that is typically at, I think it starts at 4:30. So that's something, no, let's see. She says now it says it starts at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And, you know, that's going to be at, you know, www.beamermeetings.com. That beamermeetings.com site is the one that we use for a lot of our, a lot of different presentations from corporate. So you can, part that comes up once a month. So it's called the Tea Time Barnyard Chat. So, again, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, BeamerMeetings.com. And yeah. We had Jane on here for a minute, but then
we lost her, so I don't know if she had to hang up or what, but she popped on really quick. But
okay. Also, for those of you who had ordered the jacket with the logo, the barn jacket, those were sent out this week, so you should have gotten that. Let's see. I can't think of anything else. Oh, I did see something.
I just wanted to say.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say to the people that are listening to this later in the week, because a big part of our listeners, our audience, are people who listen to it later when it's at a more convenient time for them. And so I just want to say to all of those people who can't ask questions live, go onto the Facebook page. I'm going to put Cindy on the line here because she is on that Facebook page. But if you ask us some questions on that Facebook page, I know Cindy's on there pretty often, and I'll try to do a better job of keeping on there.
Yeah.
Ask us a question on there, and then we can ask your question for you on the call the next week. So if you're one of those people that just isn't on for these live shows to be able to ask the questions that you have, please use Facebook. It's a really good resource for that, and then we can ask your question, and you can hear it when you're able to listen to it. And again, like I always say, likely if you have a question, many other people have it as well, and it usually opens a good discussion for us on another topic. So please do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we need your help to make it interactive, and you know, we're open to suggestions too. So I think. That's kind of it for me today.
Yeah, that'll do it for us. And it's right now kind of at the bottom of the half hour here, and so we'll say goodbye for the day. I'm heading to Montana, so I'll be calling you guys next week. Cindy's going to run the show for me because I will be in Montana, and I have terrible internet there and barely good cell reception, but I'll be on with you. Cindy's going to run the computer part for me because I don't think I'll be able to. So it's going to be one of those times when I wish we were doing, some sort of video version of this so I could share the view with you guys when I'm there. But
I bet. I hope there's no fires and I hope I don't screw it up. So everybody be kind next week so that I don't push the wrong buttons. But anyway, we will make it happen. So thanks for listening in the future for those of you on the recording, and we'll look forward to being able to answer your questions and talk with you again.
Sounds good. All right. Well, we'll meet you all back here next Thursday, everyone. I hope you have such a great week. Stay cool if it's as hot where you are as it is where I am. And be sure to tune into other Blog Talk days. They do some great things on those other days. And we'll see you here next Thursday. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, somebody just popped on.
Today's show was brought to you by an independent group of Beamer distributors who are committed to helping you find success in your business. We're all part of a bigger mission to bring this amazing technology to a market that so desperately needs it. We'll be back again really soon. Until then, here's to your health.